celebrating 50 golden years of ministry. And we're so thankful that you're here. You are the crowd that set your clocks ahead an hour, see? There may be some that are coming in here a little bit late today because they forgot to set their clocks ahead. But we're so thankful that you're here, and we're looking forward to a wonderful day of celebration. Now, the rule for this morning is don't look at your watch. We're going to try to move things along. We're not going to try to waste time, but we have a lot on the program today for our 50th anniversary. And so I know you'll understand this is not a typical service by any stretch of the imagination. So just want to kind of give that little disclaimer right up front. But you don't have to rush off to a restaurant because we have dinner on the grounds right after the service. Come on over and join us. We've got plenty of food, and we're going to Robert's been up since the wee hours of the morning smoking stuff, and we've got barbecue and all kind of good food over there. So hope that you'll. Yeah, he did. Yes. Anyway, we're going to have a great time in the Lord today. Are you glad to be here? Say a good amen.
Amen.
Amen. I think that's unanimous. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to have the His songs come up and share about 25 minutes worth of music for us, take us up to about the 10:30 hour. So let's pray together. Father, thank you so very much today for your goodness and mercy and grace. Thank you for Jesus, our wonderful, glorious Savior. We thank you for the shed blood of Christ that washes our sins away. Pray if there's someone today who's come to church, who's never come to know Christ, Lord, today let this be the day of salvation for them when they repent of their sins and put their full faith and trust in Christ. We pray today for Julius Paris as he's at Advent Hospital Monroe in Ocala as he has open heart surgery tomorrow. We pray for the doctors. We pray for a good outcome, and we pray, Lord, you'd have your hand upon him. And we ask today that you be with our missionaries in Guatemala, our missionaries of the week, Jerry and Mindy Kinman and Miss Karen Kolb. Thank you for their ministry. Lord, we just are so excited for the works that have been established there. Pray your blessing upon them. And we ask today that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. Use the music and the message today to draw us closer to you and closer to one another. And may the Lord Jesus Christ receive all the praise and all the honor and the glory. For it's in his wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. Welcome to His songs as they come this morning.
Thank you. right. I was going to say, there's another family that could probably sing that song this morning, because I feel the same way. Thank you for being my dad. For being my dad and being God's man. So thank you for being God's man. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing hymn number 44, "To God Be the Glory." Let's stand together as we sing. And as we sing, if choir, if you'll make your way up to the choir loft, I would appreciate that. "To God Be the Glory." And as we stand and sing, choir, make your way on up.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus the pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Let's sing this last verse, "Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done." I think about 50 years, and I look around, it is truly a homecoming. Seeing some of these faces, it's been such a long time, and it's so great to be able to gather here and worship together. Let's sing this third verse, "Great things He hath taught us."
Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. And great things He certainly has done. You look over the past 50 years, and in a few moments you'll get to see a slideshow and just what God has been able to do through His people, through the Church of Grace Bible Baptist. And I thank you for being a lighthouse in our community around the world. Man, these relationships. I love seeing some of these folks. So many dear people that I've got memories of from back in the day when I was just a boy and I had hair. I remember having both of those. I want to let you know about just a couple of things, and then we'll have prayer in our scripture reading this morning. Of course, right after service, dinner on the grounds. Please stay. We've got tons of food. Baptists know how to eat. So if you say, "Hey, I didn't even bring something," it's okay. There's plenty of food. Please stay in fellowship. We'll have a wonderful time after the service. No service tonight. We'll just hang out, and then y'all get the rest of the afternoon off. On Wednesday night is our Awana Grand Prix. So boys and girls in the Awana clubs, I hope that you've been making your little derby cars. I think our Commander TJ still has some available. If you need one today, let us know and he will get you a car. They're $5. But we open it up to not just to the kids, but to the adults. So if some of you men like to, or ladies like to make some derby cars, you can race those on Wednesday night, and that'll be right here in the auditorium. And then on Friday and Saturday, we will be having our teen yard sale fundraiser. And we appreciate all of those good used resellable items that you donate to us throughout the year. And if you have donations, you can bring those anytime now. Take them up to the fellowship hall, and we would gladly receive those. If you have some big items on your connection card in your bulletin, put yard sale pickups, but put a good phone number for us, because sometimes we only have a landline, or sometimes cell phone numbers change. So put your number there on the connection card if you have a pickup. Obviously, drop-offs are much more appreciated because it's just such a busy week. A lot of other things happening. Our Financial Peace University starts next Sunday night. A lot of big things on the agenda, but we're here to celebrate 50 years. What an accomplishment, Grace. Thank you for staying with the stuff, for being faithful. You know, when we get to heaven, that's what we want to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. So thank you for your faithfulness in serving God. Pastor, if you'll come and open us in prayer.
Thank you, Pastor Seth. You know, Dell, it's a privilege to have your son working with you, isn't it? It really is. 17 years now almost Seth has been here, and my right arm. I'm thankful for Pastor Seth, and thankful for the privilege to serve in the ministry together. What a blessing that is. I need to send out an SOS, which means scoot over some. If you have room, and you can kind of scoot toward the middle of your pew and leave a little bit of room on the end, if there's room. We don't want you sitting on each other's laps, but if you have room, and then there's that way, if there's some latecomers, they can, you know, sit on the end there. That would be great. Well, thank the Lord for His blessings. It's all by His grace. All by His grace. Let's pray together. Father, thank you once again for the privilege to come before your throne of grace today. Thank you for the grace that saves us. Thank you for the grace in which we stand. Thank you for the grace that secures us through those times of life when we have nothing and no one else to turn to but Jesus. We thank you today, God, for 50 years of blessing upon this ministry, for the vision of the founding pastor, Dr. Van Sant, and his family, and for those who labored here in those early years and built a foundation, and for those who have come along since and built upon that foundation. But we know that no other foundation can a man lay than what is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Thank you that this church was founded on Jesus. And Lord, may it always be our desire and our motivation to hold up the Lord Jesus Christ, that He might increase and we might decrease. And we just pray that your blessing would be upon the rest of this service. God, we thank you for how you've spoken to our hearts already. And I just pray that you would have free sway in every heart and life today. We just celebrate your goodness. Thank you, God, for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our newest staff member, Pastor Marty, our student pastor, going to come and read our scripture this morning. If you want to turn there, it's in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. It's literally chapter 5. But this will segue into our special by the choir. So if you can, in honor of God's word this morning, would you stand as we read God's word, Revelation 5, verses 1 through 14.
And I do need to make a quick adjustment to one of Seth's announcements. Teenagers, you don't get the whole afternoon off. As soon as we finish eating, we need some help getting tables shifted around and get started on setup for the yard sale. More help we have, the less time it takes, and then you have the rest of the day off. So, Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. The 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And this is Pastor's favorite song right now. It's called, Is He Worthy?
Yeah. the Father truly love us? Does the Spirit move among us? And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those He loves? Does our God intend to dwell again with us?
Heaven, amen, because we're going to be around that throne room saying He is worthy of all honor and blessing and worship and praise. Well, got to have a little bit of fun this last week looking through some golden oldie pictures, and I hope that we're going to see a little video before we recognize our charter members, just so people can get an idea, if you were at Grace in 1990-1991 when Dr. Bill Van Sant went north and then Pastor George came, would you just stand for just a moment? I just want to just see you this morning just so we can see. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Maybe seated. I think you're going to see a lot of those familiar faces. That's why I want them to stand, because I want you to look at some of these faces. Now, you got to think back 30, 40 years ago. Okay? So, but anyhow, I hope this is a blessing to you. Looking back over 50 years of ministry and what God has done because of your faithfulness.
The trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the sailors shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
When the roll
is called up yonder,
when the roll
is called up yonder,
I'll be there.
beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord,
I know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
This land that is fairer than
looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay, and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears, but I've felt His arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. You see, I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt. As His grace rolled down upon me, undeserved, for God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. For God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way that I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel so blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it we gather in your name.
Wow. One more video if we have time. You want to see one more real quick? All right. Let's do it. Barbie? Butch and Sue Walker. Okay, they started off. All right. Well, let's see it. Let's go.
It wasn't long till
Was a video of a video, okay? That was lots of memories. A lot of those people are in glory, but we'll see them again. Amen. Praise the Lord. In your bulletin, you'll notice the church history. Our church began under the leadership of Reverend W.C. Bill Van Sant on a Wednesday evening, November 20th, 1969, with seven people in the Connors Mobile Home. The first official service was the following Sunday, November 24th, 1969, at which 12 were present. In January of 1970, the young church moved from the Connors Mobile Home to 708 South 14th Street. I think that is now the home of Donut King. That was the first building this church used. Attendance at this time was averaging about 23. The church was officially organized 50 years ago today, March the 8th, 1970, with 26 charter members. Their names are listed at the bottom of that page. Because of steady growth, the church purchased property later that year in Edgewood Park. As the Lord continued to bless and our congregation grew, a larger, more centrally located facility was leased at the corner of Butler and Truett. This site had a parsonage for the pastor's family. It served the church well until January 1974, when we moved to our present location. Pastor William Van Sant served faithfully until June of 1990, when he accepted a call to the Bible Baptist Church of Sotus, New York. I accepted the pastorate in January of 91. First Sunday was March the 10th, 91, which was our church's 21st anniversary. And we're thankful for all of those who have had a part in this church over the past 50 years. We want to recognize some. I do want to mention that I'm so thankful for our staff. Pastor Seth, who has been with us almost 17 years, and his wife, Jen, and their daughters, Ava, Olivia, and Avery. And then our newest staff member, Pastor Marty, his wife, Lydia, and their children, Jeremiah, Nathaniel, and Sophia. And then I appreciate our secretary bookkeeper, Leslie Lewis, in the office, does just a fantastic job. You know, to God be the glory, over the past 50 years, I don't know, hundreds of people have been saved and baptized and discipled. Churches have been started out of Grace Bible Baptist Church, and church planters supported by our church, churches helped by us. Pastors and full-time workers have been called out of this church. And surrendered to the ministry. We had just several young men recently who, through our missions conference, surrendered their lives to full-time service. So somewhere on these walls, there's 127 projects that our church currently is privileged to support. And in the past 50 years, somewhere, and I don't have an exact figure, but somewhere between $4.5 and $5 million has been given to worldwide missions. Praise God. To God be the glory. In addition, literally tons of food has been given to the Leesburg Food Bank and thousands of dollars given to those in our community, individuals and families in need. Just a question. How many of you, by a show of hands, came to Christ here? You came to Christ through this church. Raise your hand. Look at that. Look at that. How many of you were married here? Raise your hand. All right. Look around. All right. How many of you had children born here? All right. And grandchildren, maybe? Okay. We're thankful for, you know, the charter members who signed the charter 50 years ago today. And for those of you that are present, we would like for you to come forward. We would like to recognize you. So come on, charter members, don't be bashful. I know you're here. Come on up. Who are we missing? All right, we got a few more. Is this it? Kendall, come on up here. And what about D? And Cheryl Bass is as close to a charter member as you could possibly get. So Cheryl, come on up here. All right, so we have Kendall Van Sant, the son of Brother Bill and Miss Edna. And then we have Sandy and Raymond Simmons and Cheryl Bass. And Pastor Seth, these would you give these out, please, for me? We have a beautiful plaque. It says Grace Bible Baptist Church charter member 1970 to 2020. Praise and thanks to God. And D. Pierce Connor, who is not able to be with us today. There's one for her as well. We'll give that to Pastor Bill and Edna for D. These were the ones who were in the very founding of our church 50 years ago. Could you show your appreciation to them today? And then, Brother Bill and Miss Edna, would you come on up here for just a minute? We have a plaque here that says Grace Bible Baptist Church in appreciation to William and Edna Van Sant for your vision and commitment. In the founding of Grace Bible Baptist Church, March 8, 1970 to March 8, 2020, we love and thank God for you. Amen. I want to see if we have any city, state, or county officials who are here with us. If you serve you're a civic leader, we'd like to recognize you. I think we had, is Esther still here? Esther, I saw Esther Colson, our city clerk, from Fruitland Park here a few minutes ago. She may have had to leave. I know I saw her. I just wanted to make sure we didn't overlook anybody that was here. I'm thankful that we have such a good association with our city of Fruitland Park. We're actually, even though we have a Leesburg Street address, some of you may not know that, we're actually in the city limits of Fruitland Park. We annexed in when we built this building back in 2001. And so we've had a wonderful relationship with the city, and I've been privileged to serve as the chaplain for the city of Leesburg in public safety since 2003. So I'm thankful for that. You know, there's so many people to thank, but most of all, we want to make sure that all praise and honor and glory goes to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to read a scripture to you this morning that I think is what is on my heart right now. In Ephesians 3:20 and 21, it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." To him be all the glory. You know, so many people, our staff, our wives, church family, some of you are relatively new here. And we thank God for each and every one of you that are here today to take part in this special service. We truly give God all the glory for everything that he's done. Because it's only by his grace. It's by his grace I was saved in 1972. It's by his grace I was called to preach in 1973. It's by his grace I was able to serve in Sarasota for 15 and a half years. And Butch and Sue that you sang singing in that video at the very beginning, Butch and Sue Walker, it's all his fault that we're here. No, seriously, but from a human standpoint, when Brother Bill left to go to SOTUS, New York in June of 90, that same month, we had our 20th high school reunion, and Butch Walker and I went to high school together. So our Sarasota High School 20th reunion, I see Butch, hadn't seen him for 20 years, he hadn't seen me for 20 years. We reconnected, and next thing you know, he said, "Hey, our church is without a pastor, and would you come up and preach sometime?" I said, "Well, if my pastor would let me, I'd be glad to." And so we came up in September of 90 and just filled the pulpit on a Sunday morning, Sunday night. Well, the rest of the story, that's history. We ended up, the church called us, and we came in January of 1991 and accepted the call and reported for duty on the church's 21st anniversary. It's been a thrill. What a blessing to serve here. And so we're so thankful. And I'm thankful that I was able to come and build on a good foundation that Brother Van Sant left here. So to God be the glory for that. I'm going to ask our ushers to come, and we're going to go ahead and receive our Sunday morning offering. And thank you again, church family, for how you take care of home base and for our missions. That, I think, is really a hallmark of our church. We're not a rich church, a wealthy church in terms of what the world would consider wealthy, but we have a very giving church. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you've done. May the Lord bless you today as you give. Brother Jim, come word our prayer. Thank you.
Certainly is a special day. And I can say for myself, it's been a privilege to be able to, even if it was by mistake, come here and visit this church for the first time, fall in love with it, and become a member. And I think that's what people do when they come here. They're warmly greeted, they're loved upon, and they're fed great meals. I don't mean just the fellowships that we have. I'm talking about when the word is opened and broken, and our souls are filled with the love of Christ and the love of people around the world, because our pastor has led us in that way to have a heart for the lost and to reach a lost and dying world for him. As we pray, let's consider those things. Invite others all the time, wherever you are, wherever you go. Just invite people to meet your Savior. It can be done. Let's pray together. Father, we truly do thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his love. We thank you for the mission that he's given each one of us. We pray that we will diligently do it, that we will, with a great love for him and a happiness in our heart, reach this world, this dying world, in every possible way we can. And now, as we lay before you our tithes and offerings, this is one more way it can be done to fulfill the mission and to reach lives for Christ, and we can spread the gospel through our giving. I pray that every dollar that is spent will honor him and will glorify God in every way. We just thank you for the privilege of being able to share. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to say before we sing, if I can, my heart is just overwhelmed at what's happened so far in this service. Seeing so many friends, people that I haven't seen for years, that were here when this church started, especially Brother Bill and Miss Edna, who started this work. And the song we're going to sing just reinforces what we have here at Grace. And it's called Jesus Built This Church on Love.
Do you ever get to wondering about the way things are today? So many on board the gospel ship try to row it in a different way. If we all pull together like a family, me and you, we'll come a lot closer to doing what the Lord called us to do. Jesus built this church on love, that's what it's all about. Trying to get everybody saved, not to keep anybody out. The door's wide open and just as big as the Father's heart above. And let's send whosoever will. Jesus built this church on love. It's now been 50 years ago God spoke to Brother Bill. He said to him, go build a church, and he answered, Lord, I will. So with his friends and family and prayers to God above, they started Grace with lots of faith. They built this church on love. Jesus built this church on love, that's what it's all about. Trying to get everybody saved, not to keep anybody out. The door's wide open and just as big as the Father's heart above. And let's send whosoever will. Jesus built this church on love. And let's send whosoever will. Grace is built by God's great love.
Who gave his son for man to die, that he might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. And if you want to take any of your children over to Kids Church, you can take them over to Kids Central at this time. I know some of y'all had them in for the videos and all the opening stuff. I think Miss Jen and the workers are already over there. So if you want to take any of the kids to Kids Central, you're welcome to do this. Let's sing this third verse.
Redeemer, Savior, friend of man, once ruined by the fall, thou hast devised salvation's plan, for thou hast died for all. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
And that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do is lift up Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. This is his church. And we lift up Jesus. I'm so thankful for all the years of ministry, thankful for the 20 years with Brother Bill and for the almost 30 years with Pastor George. And I'm thankful that these pastors have been faithful to the ministry, but it's Jesus who builds this church.
And we must point people to Jesus Christ, because let me tell you, friends, He will never fail us, will He? Let's sing this song together, 10,000 Reasons. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. Yes, I'll worship Your holy name. Jesus, I'll worship Your holy name.
Amen. Thank you for your worship. You may be seated. And just before Brother Vincent comes to preach the word, we're going to have his songs do one song.
Thank you, His songs. Dr. Van Sant is currently the pastor of the New Life Baptist Church in Metter, Georgia. And Brother Bill, come and share God's word with us this morning.
Amen. Amen. Good to be in God's house. Absolutely. Jesus has done and will be doing a mighty work for His glory and honor at this place. Amen. 50 is just a benchmark. Until He comes,
amen,
we move forward.
Amen.
Amen. And I pray God's richest blessing upon you. I'd like to beg that one for Kimberly. That one right there, I'd like to beg that for Kimberly. Our daughter was the first soul saved in our church. In the Connors double wide. We were in a single wide on that Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And then that Sunday they had pulled a double wide in and set it up. And when we gave invitation that morning, no one came because it was all home folk. But then when I said the prayer and said amen, Kimberly was standing right by me. I said, "Sweetheart, what you doing?" She said, "Daddy, I would have come, but they were all singing." Amen. Both of our children were privileged to come to the Lord before their fifth birthday. And so I pray that many more souls will come this way. Amen. Amen. Your pastor is a special, special man. That's because he's so full of Jesus. Amen. He's tender to the Spirit. He cares for souls. And he cares for his sheep. And I pray that as the leadership of the church continues to grow. We thank the Lord for George and Kathy and Seth and Jennifer and now Marty and Lydia. And we pray that that just means that there's more folks to come to the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm just going to get to it if it's all right. I've got all kind of stuff written down that I'm just not going to take care of. If you have your Bible, I just pray that you get it and we'll turn to the Gospel of John together. I hope that you know that the Gospel of John was written by the old man apostle of John. By the way, I'm half of 156. Amen. 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 I want to say everything the Lord wants me to say, but I don't want to be like the preacher that was preaching, and he was preaching all through the Bible, and he finally came to Ezekiel, and he said, "Well, here we are with Ezekiel. What in the world are we going to do with Ezekiel?" And the guy got up at the back of the church. He said, "He can have my seat. I need to go home." Amen. 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 92% of this gospel is not found anywhere else in the Word of God. That can be only 7% said about the Gospel of Mark. You just think, you wouldn't know about Nicodemus, his salvation. You wouldn't know about the woman at the well. You wouldn't know about Lazarus' resurrection. You wouldn't know of the great discourses, "I am the light of the world, I am the bread of life." He fed 20,000.
Then he gave a discourse. I am the bread of life. Then he gave a discourse. I am the light of the world. And then he healed a man blind from birth. This book is chock full of Jesus. This book is all about Him. The Gospel of John is apologetic of the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. You see, He was in the beginning, and in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. When God had an intention, Jesus called all the material into existence. And the Holy Spirit hovered over it for 6 days and fashioned it into the will of the Godhead. But that same second person, the Lord Jesus Christ, became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. When the Godhead said, we need a plan. The Father, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. And Jesus came, born in Bethlehem's manger, proved who He was through 3.5 years of public ministry, that He was God Almighty encased in a human body. He went to the cross of Calvary, 2 Corinthians 5:21. The one who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God through Him. We have nothing to offer God. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, you'll be let down by yourself into hell. Sad, sad indeed. If you'll turn to the 6th chapter of John. The feeding of 5,000 men. Probably 20,000 were fed that day. After these things, it's marvelous how John, if you go back to chapter number 5, after this, after these things, there is an unnamed feast in chapter 5. So chapter 6 is anywhere from 6 months to a year later. If it happened to be Pentecost, it would be a year later. But if it happened to be Tabernacles, it would be 6 months later. So the Bible says in John chapter number 6, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Tiberius was a Caesar. That city was built to honor him. In the Gospels, it never has depicted that Jesus ever went there to preach. But I'll show you in a moment that people who lived there heard about him, and they left Tiberius and went across the Sea of Galilee to seek him out. Then a great multitude followed him. Now, you have to take the synoptics. There's a great tool called a harmony of the Gospels. Great tool for anybody's library. See, we don't have it in John, but he had sent the 12 out 2 by 2. And they have just come back. Jesus actually took this trip across the Sea of Galilee that they could have some special time together. Because in the synoptics it says, come apart for a while, lest you come apart, is what Vance Havner quotes it. In other words, all of us need to sit at the feet of Jesus, including evangelists, singers, pastors, and Sunday school teachers, and all of us need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Remember when Mary was seated at the feet of Jesus in Luke chapter 10, around verse number 40, thereabouts? And Martha was in the kitchen clanging the pans and the pots and bang, bang. Boy, she is so agitated. Lord, why don't you tell Mary to come in here and help me get lunch together for all of us? And Jesus said, Mary hath chosen the better part to be seated at the feet of Jesus. Life will not be near as agitating if you start your day seated with Jesus. And we need to know that no matter what realm in the kingdom we are. All of us. And so therefore he goes across the Sea of Galilee. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw the miracles, the signs which he performed on those who were sick or diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain there, and he sat with his disciples. His purpose was to have a rest with his disciples. But they're following him. And by the way, you'd have to go to the synoptics once again to find out that when they came, Jesus taught them and Jesus healed their sick before he ever fed them. Because this miracle is in all four Gospels. The feeding of the 5,000. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. It was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming to him, he asked Philip something. Philip, one of the apostles. You see, they are on the northeast corner of the Sea of Galilee, and they're very close to a town called Bethsaida. Well, that happens to be Philip's hometown. And that's also where Peter and Andrew are from. But he asked Philip, where's your closest Publix? Where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said, to test Philip, to see how he would react. For he himself, Jesus, knew what he would do. Jesus already had it planned out. Philip answered him and said, why, 200 penny worth denarii, worth of bread, is not sufficient for them, that every one of them could just have a little bit. You know, an hors d'oeuvre, not a meal. Well, a denarii is the wage of a laborer, one day's wage. So this would be almost over a half year's wage of a working man. But that wouldn't even put an hors d'oeuvre on the table. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to the Lord, there is a lad here who has five barley loaves. He's got five small biscuits. And two small fish, a couple sardines. But what are they among so many? Now the Bible says in this portion that 5,000 men didn't count the women, didn't count any children. Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now, there was much grass because it's the early rain time around Passover. God would always bless Israel with the early and the latter rain, especially if they always obeyed Him. Now, there was much grass in that place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. That's the men. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed them to His disciples and the disciples to those sitting down. And likewise, He did the same with the fish, the sardines. As much as they wanted. 200 denarii wouldn't give them hardly a taste. But every one of them ate until their belly was filled. And they were satisfied. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up. Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Everything's important. I'm a recycler. I'm upset that they don't recycle glass in our area. I am a recycler. Paper, plastic. Why make more when you can remake what you have? Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the signs that Jesus did, said, this is truly that prophet, giving a reference to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 and verse 18, when Moses said, there will be another prophet in the future will be sent from God as I was. And of course, that would be God's son, who is to come into this world. Okay, that's all of section 1. Section 2. Jesus walks on the water. By the way, he created. Amen. He created food. Amen. Keep that in mind. Now he's going to defy gravity. Amen. So he walks on the water. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force because they wanted to make him king, he departed to the mountain by himself alone. And when evening came, his disciples, because they were already, he had to look at the synoptics to get that view. He instructed them to go into the boat and to wait for him. So, when evening came, they got into the boat and went over the sea toward Capernaum. That's in the northwest corner. Leaving the northeast corner of the Sea of Galilee, going to the northwest corner. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose with a great wind. This was not a rainstorm. This is that hot air coming out of the desert, going over the east side of the Sea of Galilee, down the steep cliffs that the pigs that were filled with the devil, the demons, legion, and ran down violently down the cliff and drowned themselves. Steep cliff on the east side. Hot air coming on the cool water. And it created a wind. A great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, boy, they're in trouble now. It was hardly that distance across the north edge. And now they're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee, 13 miles long, 6.5 miles wide, and they're right in the middle of it. But they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat. They were afraid, but he said unto them, it is I. I am was walking on the water. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. Moses said in Exodus 3:1-15, Lord, when I go down into Egypt and talk to the elders of Israel, who in the world do I tell them to send me? You just tell them the I am sent you. Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane in John chapter 18, 1 through 11. And they come with swords and staves. And they come to arrest the Son of God. Jesus said to them, "Whom seek ye?" "We seek the Nazarene, Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I am." And they all tumbled like dominoes. John's 18th chapter says to us, because they just heard the power of the divine Son of God. They didn't bow down to worship Him. They were blown down by who He was. And so when Jesus... I want to show you this, then I'm just going to have to recap stuff, okay? It says, they're in the middle of the lake and they saw Jesus walking on the sea, and He said, "It is I am. Do not be afraid." Then they willingly received Him into the boat, and immediately, He's in the boat. The boat has filled its destination. It's in dock. Oh, let the Word of God speak for itself. It's chock full of miracles. Amen. And immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. And they were in the middle of the Sea of Galilee in a wind storm. Then He starts the discourse, "I am the bread of life." Now, I want you to see some things here. I don't want to go so fast that we miss it, all right? He has a discussion, and of course the Jews... Oh, here, I need to point this out. If you go to verse number 59, I need to show you where all of this discussion is going on. "These things He said in the synagogue as He taught in Capernaum." Okay, that's where He is. Jews, and maybe Jewish proselytes, but Jews filled the synagogue. And Jesus tells them, because they said, "You know, we have Moses. Moses gave them bread from heaven." And Jesus straightens them out. "No, Moses didn't do that. My Father in heaven gave them bread." All those 40 years, their ankles never swelled. The second law of thermodynamics was set aside, and their clothes never grew old. God took care of them. Gave them water from the flinty rock. Gave them manna. And no matter what your appetite is, you say, "My appetite is usually I get up and read about a 5-minute devotional." And somebody else says, "Well, man, I got to spend about an hour in the Word of God." Everybody's appetite is different. It was the same with the manna. You could get as much as you wanted or as little as you needed. And if anything was kept till the next morning, it was consumed with worms, except on... Amen. Then you could collect enough for 2 days. That's a miracle bread now. But that miracle bread cannot compare to Jesus, who said, "I am the bread of life." And then He goes into this great discussion. And He says, "If you drink My blood and if you eat My flesh..." He wasn't teaching them to be cannibals. He was saying, "If you ingest Me into your thinking and your living and your entire life, you will have eternal life. And you will be raised in the last day." You know, it's an amazing thing when Seth went to that little praise there, 10,000 years. God saved me when I was almost 18 years old. I stuttered so bad that when I got married at 21, I did not say the vows to my wife. And I know that God has a tremendous sense of humor, because He called me to preach. If Lena Rollins was here today, and I think she's got a little peek over the side here this morning, she'd tell you that when I was at Calvary Baptist Church doing youth ministry, that I knocked on her door and she didn't understand anything except maybe he said Calvary. And whatever else he was talking about, he was looking for my two girls. Amen. So I want you to know, if I don't have a month left, if I have 10 or 20 years left, I just want to have it to serve Him, to love Him. Amen. He moved in on me. Some of you may not know this, but I was asked to leave my home, and I moved in with a preacher, and he gave me a job as a custodian at the church because my folks didn't like what they saw in Christianity. And I want you to know that after I earned enough money, I got on a bus and went to Texas to learn about heaven and hell. And it's 108 degrees. And when I stepped out on that asphalt and it stuck to my shoes, I said, I've gone to the wrong place. Amen. 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 But that began the journey. After all these years, how can I do anything less than give Him my best after all He's done for me? He took my hell. He gave me His heaven. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. But I want you to show I want to show you the response, okay, to Jesus in that synagogue. Look at verse number 41. Then the Jews complained about Him because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Oh. Look at verse number 43. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do you murmur among yourselves? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Let's look a little further. I'm going to follow my lines here if I can. Okay. In verse number 52, the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us His flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Now jump down to verse number 60. Why did Demas forsake Paul for the things of this world? Therefore, many of His disciples, when they heard Him say, this is a hard saying, and who can understand it? When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples complained about this. Now, He knew that. He didn't have to get a report from somebody. He knew that in Himself because He's God. He's omniscient. What then if you should see the Son of Man ascending where He was before? Now Peter and Andrew and the 12 will see that in the book of Acts. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up into heaven will come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. Amen. The King is coming. Amen. Now, let's go to verse number 66. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. When we were here at Grace, we might only have 150 or 200, but over those years, we had over 1,100 people come through this church. Some come and get emotional. Some come and they continue to walk with the Lord, but some
are like the thorns and the stony ground. They don't last. And it's sad. It's sad indeed. Amen. But why should we be surprised? Because Jesus Himself said, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to Him. But few there be that go in thereat. But wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many find that way." But Jesus came, Luke 19:10, "I came to seek and to save that which is lost." Amen. He is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. His blood was sufficient to save everybody from Adam to the last one. But it is only efficient to save those who believe. My friend, even the rich young ruler, when Jesus put His finger on his green god, and he said, "I just can't give up my money." And he walked away and said that Jesus loved him. God's the love of the world. So listen, God's done everything that He can possibly do to take any and every sinner and get them to heaven. But until a sinner does his or her part, the contract's not been completed. He's done His part. I got saved on a bench outside the Stranahan High School cafetorium. I'd been witnessed to for a year. And I didn't run to Christ. You know, somebody said, "I found Jesus." I didn't know Jesus was lost. I thought He came to seek you out. Amen. Amen. A person left on their own will never get saved. That's why Jesus came. That's why He seeks you out. And when folks began to witness to me, I went to the Bible club at Stranahan High School. I saw my name on the chalkboard. I said, what's my name on that board for? And I probably stuttered clean through it. And then I stuttered worse because they said, "We pray for you every time we meet." Whew. Jack Rogers was on the track team. I was on the track team. Jack Rogers would work out with me, and we would, we'd do our routines, and he talked to me about Jesus. I'd run a little faster. He'd catch up with me and keep talking. He'd catch up with me and keep talking. I want you to know I was under such terrible conviction when my folks went north to visit my Uncle John, who had MLS. I thought, maybe they'll let me stay here and help my daddy's brother. And I can go to school here and I won't have to go back to that school where they got witnesses. And you know what my daddy said to me? "What is wrong with you, boy? You're going home with us. You're losing your mind." Well, you know something? I began my last year of high school in September of 59. And by October, I sat on that bench. And here come Jack Rogers and Betty Malter sitting on either side of me. "Have you thought more about being saved?"
Amen.
And I said, "It's all I can think about. I can't even sleep." And they said, "Praise God."
Amen. Amen.
They said, "Praise God." I said, "Boy, they've lost their mind." And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God wooed on me real good. And if I could describe it, I would say, if I had had a hanky in my pocket, I waved it toward heaven and said, "I give up." And God took over. Amen. So I've been on this journey all these years. And God's been good because God's good all time. Amen. Now, my friend, since God's done everything He can do to get you out of hell and get you into heaven, in just a couple, two or three verses, I'm going to tell you how to get there. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody in this building today is not out from under that umbrella of being a sinner.
Amen.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yeah, we preachers. Yeah, we're sinners. No sinners in heaven, so we'll just worship there. There'll be no more going, no more witnessing. We'll just be worshiping. Amen. Loving on Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin, the payment of you being a sinner is death.
Amen.
Not just physical death. Spiritual death is when you're an individual that does not have God. There's physical death when you die physically. And by the way, that word death means separation.
Amen.
The soul and spirit separates itself from the body or the house in which it's lived. If you're here today and you don't have God in your life, you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, then you may be healthy and in good health, and I hope you are. But the fact is, my friends, is that you do not have eternal life. The only thing that's keeping you out of hell is a string called life, and if it would be severed under your condition, you'd be in hell.
Right.
So that's spiritual death. Physical death, spiritual death. But the believer